This is so cheesy, but I cried the first day.
Oh.
So I knew I didn't want to let go. So that was the day that I knew that I wanted to be in wine.
Oh, that's so special.
Nothing is going to come and it's just going to be like, oh, maybe tomorrow, like I get lucky and then the dream job just shows up in front of me. It's like, no, you have to create it. But in order for you to create it, it's like you have to do a lot of baby steps. I felt like there was something important that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what my life was looking for. I realized that I had accomplished, which is hard to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to stop and say, oh, wow. I have accomplished all this. When I post something and I'm like, I'm sad or this and that, it's just me, right? It's like, you get me in social. When you follow me in the good mood and the bad mood. I hate that. I'm gonna say it. It's the new me.
So we are recording now. Well,
nice.
Cheers.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers. It's so nice to have you here, Lorena. Wine diary.
Yes.
And I'm gonna throw you off a little bit. So
okay.
I went on your website.
Uh-oh.
And I read something, and I actually want to start off with that because
okay.
I read something that it really, really resonated to me.
Okay.
And funny enough, it's a quote, and it's mm-hmm. a quote. I don't know if you wrote this quote or you put together this quote or where this quote came from. But,
I'm scared now.
Yeah, but it's something that my dad would tell us a lot growing
okay.
up. So you wrote, or mm-hmm. it's on your website, the time will pass anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You can either spend it creating the life you want or spend it living the life you don't want. The mm-hmm. choice is yours.
Yes.
That's a powerful statement.
It is. I did not write that, but sorry, I do want to tell people that you will listen some Spanglish in here
yes,
while we're talking.
Yeah,
okay,
yes.
So I just want to say that up front.
Exactly. Let's be up front.
But going back to the quote, so since I've been a kid, I know, you know, it's the looking for the happiness, right? It's looking for happiness. And it's like, okay, well, how? And it's like looking for, how do you do that? It's like, you can even be working all day and working in an office, or you can just like live a life every day like it's the last day of yours, right?
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Well, you build it. Nothing is going to come. And it's just going to be like, oh, maybe tomorrow, like, I get lucky and then the dream job just shows up in front of me. It's like, no, you have to create it. But in order for you to create it, it's like you have to do a lot of baby steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get to this big, grandiose goal.
Yeah.
What goal? I don't know, right? I never know where life is taking me. But you have to look for that. You don't want to stay and wait.
Well, I'm glad that we started with that because that gives me the perfect intro to you.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
So, Lorena is a wine influencer, wine
communicator.
Expert, communicator, blogger. I don't know. I'm sure there are many terms to describe
yes.
it, but basically, you do something that I'm personally very passionate about. You know, I'm very passionate about wine, and I'm very, I very much support your work because you
Thank
basically,
you.
You're an advocate for wine
yes.
and you're a communicator. You bring people into this fascinating world that not
mm-hmm.
a lot of, not everyone is accustomed to, not everyone
It can be
really
intimidating.
Knows about. Exactly. A very intimidating,
very intimidating.
World.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you do it with a lot of style, with a lot
Thank
of
you.
Grace, and in a very lighthearted and funny, with a very lighthearted and funny approach.
Thank you.
So I think that's
fabulous. My Mexican side.
Yeah.
That's my Mexican loud and crazy side.
Yeah. But I find it beautiful. And you have a lot of followers on social media, me
Thank
being
you.
One of them. And I would love to know, just for you to share how you got started, how this wine journey started? So you're Mexican, you're from Mexicali?
Yes, I'm from Mexicali, Baja California, which is 2 hours away from here, San Diego, where we are. I've been living in San Diego for around almost, I'm going to say 12, 15, I can't remember already. Mm-hmm. Not 12 years. 12 years I've been in San Diego. Got married with this guy from Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I was already working in Mexicali.
You married him before you moved here?
Yeah, no, I married him. Yes, I marry him, and then I finish my school because I didn't want to leave until I finished my school.
Okay.
And that was like, I got married 3 months after I finish, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, okay, I can go now. Yeah. So I left, and I moved here, and then I just did my transfer from my work because they also have a facility here in San Diego, and that's how I'm here.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been
so you what do you do outside of wine? So you're, because you're mentioning your job, so then you transferred here with the company.
Yes.
In what field?
Are you ready? Tun tun tun. Okay. So I work in the aerospace business. So I work in one of the biggest companies in the world in aerospace. Uh-huh. And awesome. I am in business development and strategy and marketing and anything.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I know. Almost 15 years in the company. This August will be 15. But yeah, so, you know, it's part of my journey in life to be in that job and to learn everything that I know about business and to grow as a professional person. I finished my master's in USD in business because of this amazing company, my job, and then throughout the process of me growing, I found wine. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with wine. And
how did you stumble upon wine?
It was so funny.
I feel that for most people, wine is it's not something that they, you know, unless you were born in a family, you know, like maybe like a European family where they grow wine, they grow vines, and you know, all that beautiful trajectory that I'm so many times jealous of. But most people that don't have that journey, it's a very different one, and they kind of just stumble upon it.
I did. So I was taking a certificate program at SDSU and for negotiations, contracts and negotiations. And I was walking in one of the breaks that we had. I was walking the aisles in there. Mm-hmm. And then one of these classrooms, you know, the closed door, but they have this tiny window in there.
Yeah.
And I saw these people.
I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this podcast. Let's make this grow together.
Going like this. And I'm like, why am I in this boring class when I could be in there?
Yeah.
So it just stayed in my head that there were people studying with like something professionally studying.
Yeah.
In my mind, you know, the wine business, it was only people that worked actually in fields, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a winemaker, or I work in a vineyard or in a tasting room, right? In my mind, that's what working in the wine industry is. I never thought there was this humongous world out there, well, that is being created now. But so it stayed in my head. So when I was, I finished that the contract certificate, and then I said, okay, well, I always wanted to do my master's. So I signed up then to USD.
Mm-hmm.
I did my master's. And when I graduated, I was like, okay, now what, right? Because in my life, I have always been studying. So I was like, okay, I should be doing something, right? I started getting a little anxious. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
You were working full time anyways, right?
I was working.
Okay. You're saying like, I'm not doing anything. You had a full time job.
Yeah, just a full time. You know, it's like
I just had a full-time job.
I know, right? It was like I only have that. Like, but you know, in my mind, I always been studying. I just like learning.
Yeah.
I like the feeling of pressure of mm-hmm. like you have to be
educated. You like that stress.
That stress. But then when I'm super stressed, I'm like, I can't handle it. Yeah. But anyway, so that's another story. So then I finished that, and then I remembered that day at SDSU mm-hmm. when people were tasting. So I said to my husband, hey, you know what? I'm not feeling well because, you know, I'm done with my master's, but I feel like I should be doing something. And he was like, well, just enjoy not doing anything. Yeah. Watch some Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, it's not. I need something else. Uh-huh. So then I said to him, well, maybe I sign up for a PhD or something. He's like, no. You're done. You know, because he saw me, how mm-hmm. hard it was for me. And, you know, being English my second language and just not, it was very tough for me. So then a week after I said to him, guess what? I'm back in school. And he's like, what did you do? And I'm well, but not in.
But it's fun.
It's something for me finally. Because, you know, all that education that I was taking before, yes, it's for me, but it was mostly
for your career.
For my career. But not like something for me. So at that point, I was already buying books. Mm-hmm. And then I watched in Netflix, they had the Psalm movie. Oh,
The first one.
Yeah. And I kind of like, I was so, like, it was so impactful for mm-hmm. me, that show. So then I signed up to that class mm-hmm. at SDSU that I had seen back then.
Wow. Okay.
So then I signed up. I got my books. I was super excited. I go the first day, which it was like kind of like the basics. They teach you all the main grapes, mm-hmm. the main varietals and regions of the world, the difference between old world, new world, yeah. all that. Well, the first day was 3 hours. They went like this for me. This is so cheesy, but I cried the first day.
Oh.
So I knew I didn't want to let go. So that was the day that I knew that I wanted to be
in wine. Oh, that's so special.
So I just, you know, and I remember Lisa Redwine was the teacher, and she was like, why are you crying? And I'm like, I'm just so happy.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
So I kept going.
Yeah.
Kept going through the certificate program that they have in there. Mm-hmm. I did not finish because then I found out about WSET.
Okay.
So then the pandemic hit. And that's when I just had signed up to the level two because they told me.
You did level two with Lindsay, I assume?
Yes. Okay. In
Wines, Smarties.
Yes. Well, but she was before with, I forgot the guy's name.
With Neptune?
Neptune, yeah. Yes. So she was there and I took that class and I passed it. Mm-hmm. It was very intense, but it was really good and I felt in love with
wine. I did my level two with her also.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's awesome. So then I had another handle in Instagram. Mm-hmm. It was Cali Life SD.
Okay.
So it was just showing.
Wait, so handle. Okay, so your handle started off, so your Instagram
yes.
handle started off as Cali Life SD.
Yes.
And you already had your
following from San Diego.
Okay.
Because I was showing, posting restaurants and things to do in San Diego.
Wow.
It was just California life in
San
Diego.
When was this then? Like, what year was this?
This was probably half a year before the pandemic hit.
Wow.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit more. Maybe a year before. It was when I had signed up to the SDSU program. And I was like, I remember my cousin, she's a big, big influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, Lorena, you already have a following. It's like,
You're changing it.
It's like, why are you doing that? Your handle is so cute. I'm like, because that's not me.
Mm.
That's not what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I want to talk 100% about wine. I just want to talk about wine. That's it. If you follow me,
oh
good.
My God. You know, I love this because it's this is what wine does. It's like a bug. Like once it's it bites you, that's it.
That's
it's
it.
Over.
It's over. It was like I was so the things that keep me up at night. It was not knowing anything about wine, and even that I went through like classes and everything. Right. I was like, but I don't know enough. I just need to.
Oh, I know. It's so yeah. That's the tough part about this industry because you never know enough. Like the truth is that I feel like the more I learn,
exactly,
I'm like I don't know enough. Like,
I don't know enough.
There's just and then you forget things and you have to go back to your books.
Yes.
It's very frustrating.
So that's how I did. So I changed it. I had 4,000 followers in there. And then I change it. The pandemic hits. Everybody starts drinking wine. Guess what happens?
Wow.
Boom! My account starts growing like crazy.
But what were you? I mean, what did you do?
Well, I just first of all, it was very interesting. I was posting things that I was learning in WSET in level two. Right?
Yeah.
I literally went through the book. Open the book and I'm like, let's talk about this region right now. And then I'll just like make things that were like interesting and not like I didn't write it ever like the textbook. I wanted to make it like I'm seeing it. Like I'm like having a glass of wine with you and maybe we've got a buzz and we can just make it fun, right?
Yeah.
So I always wanted to make it that way, that it was like just easy. Or in my interpretation, because a book might say one thing, but since English is my second language, I interpret things always different.
So it's
like,
no, and sometimes that's needed because the way that a book explains it, it's not really how people perceive it. You know, like when people are like, in the tasting, even they're like, this wine has high acidity and the tannins. And most people are like, we don't get it. Like, what are tannins and how do you even know what that feels like and the acidity? Like, what does that translate to?
And that's how I was just the things I was learning. That was how I was. The post that you would see is the things that, I just learned this today. Let me just talk about it. I never felt like I'm going to say it like I'm an expert. No, I'm just saying like I learned this. And then some people, because a lot of famous people in the wine industry started following me.
Yeah.
And I was very nervous most of the time because I had probably 90% of the people in there more educated in the wine world.
More wine
knowledge
and
all that. MS, Master Psalms were following me. So I was like very nervous.
Yeah, that's pretty nerve-wracking. That is pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But you know what? You were speaking to a different audience. It's the thing. Like your audience, and I think that, and we'll get into that because I'm really curious. Like, I'm assuming that your audience are just normal people that are interested in wine, that want to learn about wine, and that want to steer away from all the snobbery that sometimes comes with this, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like normal people that want wine, and they're not looking to buy the $200 bottle. They're just looking to find like a good wine.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they trust your recommendation. So that's really interesting because there's definitely such a huge, in my opinion, like there's a big place for wine influencers, and I say quote unquote because it sometimes comes with a bad connotation.
But
there's such a big place for that in social media.
So you bring a great point. So one of the things that I think made me more famous in the social media world is I have one rule. And that is, I do not want to lose my credibility. So when I work with brands, I work with the ones that I like the product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, even if they pay me, I have said no to some brands because I do not
like
it, right? It has to match my values. It has to match all sorts of things for me to work with someone. So a lot of the things that I was doing in the pandemic, it was just that I fell in love with some wines and then I would email them or send them a message and be like, hey, can I interview you? And we're like, sure, whoever you are.
Yeah.
I'm not an online diary. Yeah. Like, but I wasn't that known back then. But then I started doing all these different interviews. So every week I had interviews to winemakers, to female winemakers. Yeah. I made a whole week of females interviews in different
ways. Did you plan this out? Because, so, okay, the you change your handle, you start promoting different wines.
Yes.
Did you have a plan behind this, or was it kind of just, like, how?
It was very informal. I don't think, at the beginning, I did not have a plan because I didn't think it was going to have any impact.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like going to be three crickets listening to me. And then it just, and then there was, I was having like, oh, in my life, I'm having 100 people watching it. I'm like, okay, I better watch what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then I will do lives and I will do like just me cooking at home. Well, and that's when Flavor Affair was born.
Okay.
That's
story. Yeah.
But
we'll get into Flavor Affair. Yeah.
but the pandemic, you know, helped a lot. You know, in a way that everybody was at home, everybody was on their phone, or watching TV, or trying to learn something new. So a lot of the people that were following me, they were like, "Oh, there's a live of a French winemaker in Lorena," right? It's like, what does she have to say? And to tell the truth, I didn't know much about wine, you know, when I was doing the interviews. But like,
hey, I mean, this is impressive. You just went there and did it.
Put myself in there. Con huevos, I did it. But I was always prepared, and I was like, okay, I had in my phone, right? I was doing it with my phone, and I had in here the questions, and I knew who that person was. I kind of researched and everything, and I said, okay, those are my 5-6 questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and then I memorized those questions, and I kind of kept the same structure with the next person and the next person, and I'm like, okay, this works well.
Yeah,
and I was just
so
like,
awesome.
I was just doing all these
and
interviews.
You started getting all these different people following you.
Yes.
From different walks of life or more,
yes,
more industry,
well,
people.
In a lot of industry, I fell in love with the old world kind of wines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because again, as I said earlier, it was an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So I always knew wines from California and from Valle and from, you know, like in my region within like miles distance,
right? Yeah, it opened
a
different world for you.
Yes, but for me, when I saw all these other wineries, regions, I was like, oh my God, I want to try this and I want to try this. And then I was probably 80% of the time, I was just talking old world wines.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them, you know, it caught a lot of attention over there because every region, not just California or Europe, they all were hurt in the pandemic,
mm-hmm,
because people they couldn't sell their wine.
Yeah.
So who was there to talk about their wines?
Yeah.
I was, yeah, right? So a lot of the like small producers,
mm-hmm,
they had to rely on people like me to be able to talk about their brands,
mm-hmm,
and put their name out there and help them sell because there was nowhere they could,
mm-hmm,
sell. So I felt like there was something important that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what my life was looking for, right? It's like I always have looked for to make an impact about something. Always. I think it's my type A life. I feel responsible of everything,
yeah,
and of my family, of my friends, of my, I never think about like, what do I want? But I think what I want is that I want to make an impact in something. So I knew there was something important that I could do in there. And I just kept talking and helping brands. And it was very natural. It wasn't like,
but I mean, all this while still having a full-time job.
Oh, yes. And
so how
and
do
a
you manage
baby.
That? Because you can, yeah, and a fur baby.
and a husband.
And a husband, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, family. We're Mexican,
family.
So family.
Yeah,
family
comes
is
with, like,
comes,
package.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's big. So, because you're still doing this and you're studying and you just finished your level 3. So how do you manage it? And I'm going to be super honest with you because I see your posts and they are so nice and so like, they're so colorful and elaborate and just artistic. I can't, like, how do you do this? Like, do you schedule it? How do you even come up with the content?
So, I don't know. I think it's just, I have this thing. I found something that I'm good at. And, you know, maybe not to memorize the WSET book. Maybe it isn't. But I do keep certain things that are important. And I like, you know, I don't know. It's just, before, it was more planning.
Mm-hmm.
I got into this time in my life. It was this switch where I felt like I was doing a lot of the things like the others were doing, like just following a trend,
yeah.
Right? Just follow what the other wine connoisseurs or the wine communicators or influencers were doing. And I was just following. And I felt that way for a long time. And I started getting closer to my 40s and I realized that I had accomplished, which is hard to do sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to stop and say, oh, wow. I have accomplished all this, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to get to that point. I think it's one of the hardest things to do in life because you always want to keep going.
Yeah.
And you never think to stop and look at and then enjoy. And that's when I transitioned from being a wine influencer to being Lorena, right?
Mm.
And now I do things for fun. What are coming in my head, I just do it.
You can see that.
Really?
Something changed in your account. Something changed. I've followed you for a while and I don't even know how I started following you, to be honest. But I know that I followed you for a while and and I see there's something a little bit more playful about your posts now. There's something a little bit more.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, it's me now in every post.
Hmm.
Before I was just doing what the others were doing. And then that's when I just stopped and I said, no. Right? I'm very passionate. I'm a very passionate person. And it also comes with the Mexican part,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That then the pandemic also helped me a lot with understand what was making me happy. And having a good glass of wine while I'm cooking and while I put my vintage music and those things together made me dance and enjoy the flavors, the aromas, all those things.
Yeah, the whole experience.
The whole experience. It created this love to taste, to everything, to the experience.
Mm.
And that's how Flavor Affair was born.
So tell me about Flavor Affair. Tell us about Flavor Affair.
Flavor Affair started during the pandemic. As I mentioned, I was cooking, I was dancing, I was opening a good bottle of wine, and I was just like, I was enjoying that moment. I was enjoying myself. And I wanted to share so bad what I was listening to. I wanted to the whole world to, yeah, come with me and listen to the song I'm listening while I'm drinking this wine and while I'm cooking. And, you know, I just wanted so bad for everybody to have a taste of it. Yeah. So I literally signed up for my alcohol license, mm-hmm. and submitted to the ABC department. But while I was doing that, I was working with another collaborator, person that sells wine in here in San Diego. And I said, this is what I want to create, right? I want to send the box. I don't know how or what I'm going to put, but I want to give the whole experience of that. And, well, this person only sells wine, so you will only sell me the wines and ship the wines. But I created the travel box. Mm-hmm. So since I was very in love with the old world wines, I started creating and I was cooking and I was doing all that. Then I would create a box for the French box, right? Mm-hmm. And it will contain one of my favorite wines from France. And then it will also include ingredients, food ingredients, okay, from France, not from here I went to Bonds and got this. No, and then it will give you the recipe, and then it will also give you the playlist that I created.
I love this.
With French music and all that. And so I did the Spanish box, I did the Italian box, and I did three of them. But so I create those travel boxes. And I was giving that, right? The experience of you.
So you were sending it out.
I was sending
them
out.
Kind of like a wine club kind of style.
Yeah.
Like a subscription.
Yes, it was. Then I realized that I wasn't making any money. I was actually losing a lot of money. So I wasn't working well. You know, when you're starting new businesses, things doesn't go.
It takes a little bit of time.
Yes.
And you know, and with wine, it's tricky because you know it's this product that just you know you're so passionate about,
yes.
and you start just pouring yourself out there.
Yes, here you go. Here's all my money.
Yeah, okay.
Here's all my money.
Glad I have to make money.
Yeah. Then my husband is like, okay, well, when is that gonna help? Right? It's like you gotta use the money from your business. And I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, okay, well then. And while almost at the end of the pandemic, boom, I got my license, my alcohol license to sell wine. I'm like, okay, we're ready, right? It's like, I'm going to start. So then I stopped the travel boxes because, you know, I just started brainstorming and talking to other people, and it's like
readjusting
people,
the idea.
I had to readjust, and I couldn't just send one bottle, right? People will want more wine. So then I just started with the collections. So then that's how what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I have the collections collections and the club is a little bit different. So sometimes I release these one of a kind bottles. Mm-hmm. And I put them in a package of six, and then each one is different.
Okay.
From different regions, all old world.
Okay. Do you source them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So nothing from the new world.
Yeah.
So they're all old world. Mm-hmm. And I release, let's say, 50 collections. Mm-hmm. And
that's it.
That's it. What they sell out, they sell out, and I don't release
them. That's
awesome. Yeah. So, and I do have a club also where you can get some of those bottles, right? You will get the collections without waiting, making sure that you don't miss your opportunity. But I have the club, but there's more changes coming pretty soon that I am still. They're
your
still
in work.
Yes.
I love the whole, I love how you've been adding and just modifying and doing all these different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have a very solid following. So, I mean, you can, of course promote there? And how do you pick what wines you select for the collections and for the club?
Well, that's a great question, because I do have I don't just pick like, oh yeah, this one has a good price and it comes from the region. No, it has to like follow a criteria of like, they have to be wines that there's only like 5 cases in San Diego or something, right?
Oh,
it's like
awesome, yeah.
Very hard to get. And I work with a lot of distributors and they send me like, okay, this is coming and it's coming in 3 months. And it's like, and we're only getting this amount. And it's like, okay, tell me the story of it. And then I'm researching and then I go through lists.
That's so much like, fun though.
It is. Like I'll go through lists of 200 wines. And I'll be like, okay. And then my eyes are crossing already after looking at 10 of them. But, I'm like researching and I go and Google them and it's like, and if I can't find anything, that's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
If I can't find them. So it's like, it follows that criteria. And if it's woman winemakers,
that's a plus.
If they follow biodynamics, sustainable practices, organic, those are plus, right? Don't get me started with the natural concept, but those are kind of like the things that I check.
Yeah.
And obviously they have to be in a price range, that can meet the number for the collection, because I try to keep it
on
the same
prices that you have. Like, what's the price for the collection?
So the collections, they're, usually the 6-bottle one is like $179.
It's a very good price.
Yeah, and to
plus
have a
shipping,
mix.
Right?
Plus shipping.
Yeah.
And then you have the 3 collections, the 3-bottle collection, and that's probably, I think that's $79. I can't remember, but it's around $79.
A very good price.
Yeah.
I mean, for wines that are hard to find, exclusive, low, like small production, boutique wineries, that's a great price.
But I don't think, you know, it's been like getting, I think I need to do a better job on explaining what I just explained, what kind of wine you're getting, right? It's like, okay, well, these are the things that are already checked, right? It's like, you're not going to find it anywhere else. And yeah, that's kind of, I think that's one of the initiatives that I think I'm going to do for this year, where there's a big plan of different things that I'm working on.
I'll be following to see what's coming up. So I still can't get over the fact that you have a full-time job while you're doing this.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. It's San Diego. It's pretty expensive in here.
Do you eventually want to transition into doing this?
And I think my job knows. But I'm a very, you know, I learn business. I learn all sorts of risk. For me I keep an eye on, on risk and what, you know, I have a mortgage and what if I this and that. So I still haven't made that decision. Mm-hmm. To do it 100%.
That will be a fabulous transition,
but
though. When you're ready, I think that's going to be, you're going to have to open a very nice bottle and celebrate.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's going to be great.
And I feel like I know myself so well that I have always known, okay, this is a time to do this. This is time to let go of this, right? I have learned to pivot very well. and know that, okay, I'm ready, I'm not ready, and I don't think I'm ready yet, because I still feel like Flavor Fair is changing and Lorena Wine Diary is changing, but I'm working to do this,
merge
them and be able to, you know, these are the only 5 things that I'm going to be doing, right?
Because 5 is a lot.
I know, it's still a lot, but you know, like the service part and try to be more in person. And that's something that I'm working on, to do more wine tastings, to do in person and to do more in-person events, more be known in San Diego, because right now I'm very international. Mm-hmm. It's probably 50% of my audience is European.
Okay.
And so that's kind of hard. And that's this year, the end of last year and then this year, one of my biggest yearly goals, mm-hmm, are to focus more in California,
okay,
to be known as California. And that's, I'm constantly keeping an eye on the numbers on that and to grow more, to be known in here. Yes.
How do you manage, let's say, for me, social media is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm too old.
No.
I don't feel old. I mean, I'm not old. Just social media is a monster for me. Like, it's this big thing to tackle. You know, I have my account. I'm posting this on my accounts. And,
yeah,
and you know, I'm like trying to promote and do all that. But I feel it interferes so much with day to day. It interferes with not so much with privacy. I'm not a private,
mm-hmm,
person at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy so much just like this one-on-one.
Yes.
And the moment. I,
uh-huh,
love living the moment.
Uh-huh.
And I feel social media interferes with that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that? Like, how do you manage,
yeah,
making that separation? And I'll tell you the one thing, for example, you mentioned your husband, even,
mm-hmm,
even just like when you walked in the door, you're like, oh yeah, my husband, like, oh my gosh, she's married. Like, I didn't even,
yes,
know you were married.
Yes.
And so how do you manage that?
There are very few things that are very private. So my husband is one of them. But I think it's been like that because he's not a social media person and he's never wanted to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it very clear. And for me, it's okay, because then I can say, oh wow, I do have one thing that is private.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, so it is funny. It's like, nobody knows that. It's like when I post Q&As in my stories,
mm-hmm,
most of the time the question is like, are you single? Or,
mm-hmm,
like, no, I'm married and I've been married for, I don't know, 12 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And like, what, you're married? I'm like, yeah, hello, Woods. I'm like, how do you think? Why do you think I was born with the Woods? No,
yeah,
of course not. So yeah, it's hard to keep things private when I've been so open. I think I made the decision one day to say, and I had the conversation with my husband and I said, let's talk, right? Because when my account started growing, I said to him, you know, I'm public now.
Yeah.
I'm very public.
Mm-hmm.
And before, he didn't see it, like, he didn't care much when I was 4,000 followers. But then I hit the 10,000, then I hit the 15,000. And then he was like, okay, people from my work are following you. So it was a little bit tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's a super private person. He doesn't say anything at his work about his personal life. Zero. And then, like, he got people that he knows from work following me, and they're like, okay, I'll get the whole, you know,
yeah,
Woods experience over here on this side. So yeah, for him it was hard. For me, it was tough. It is, you know, you would see me right now, like, it doesn't look tough. Well, I've been doing this now for like several years,
yeah,
now, and I don't
care. You've learned how to manage it at this,
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I do learn, but I, at this point, I'm an open book.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's very few things that I have not released yet. And I think that I know that I will say them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not there yet. You know, nothing crazy, right?
Yeah,
I didn't kill anybody, but
No, but it's interesting because I think at the end of the day, I mean, and so for me, having this podcast is really, you know, like the theme, mm-hmm. like people in Cork is really like, how did you get here? Like what the yeah. journey, right? And the journey comes with a lot of things,
yes.
and with a lot of sacrifice also.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important to mm-hmm. to bring up, the sacrifice
yes.
that so many people have to go through in order
mm-hmm.
to reach their goals, in order to accomplish the things that they set their minds
mm-hmm.
to. And I think that's probably the part that I many times see lost on social media,
yes.
because social media shows you a very pretty picture of life.
And I try not to lose that. I try not to be that
mm-hmm.
pretty face in one.
Yeah.
I always try to show the behind, right? And I have had people telling me, sending me messages of saying, oh my God, you're like the most vulnerable person I ever met in my life, right? It's like, I don't even know that I'm doing it because, I'm constantly in social. I'm constantly doing instant stories where I'm saying, I like this, or guess what happened to me? Oh, I got mad in here. Oh my God, I just passed I just did my test, you know, oh my God, I'm always saying it, but I don't see it, right? Because not for me, something normal that I'm doing, but people are following and people know me well.
Yeah.
And that's very scary sometimes.
So what is for you, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face? Because you have a very different lifestyle because
mm-hmm.
this path is different, right? I mean,
yeah.
Documenting your life, documenting
yes.
your experiences, documenting your journey. I think there's something very beautiful about that. Scary at the same
mm-hmm.
time, challenging.
Yes. yeah.
So what do you see as the biggest challenges? Because I'm sure some days you're like, oh, I don't want to record anything. I want to just
yeah.
disappear from social media.
Yes.
Do you have those days?
Yes, I do. But I do, but I don't do. Let me say why. Because I ended that Lorena that was showing just a pretty picture, right? So when I post something and I'm like, I'm sad or this and that, it's just me, right? It's like, you get me. In social, when you follow me in the good mood and the bad mood and it was a bad hair day or it was
yeah.
Like right now I'm wearing pants and like yoga pants and like tennis shoes. You know, it's just, there's always days that I just don't feel. There's, I don't know, I had... January, I did the not drinking. I never wanted to call it dry January, but I'll tell you why in a second. But so I said, you know what? I'm not posting because for me, December was very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I had 5 collaborations in 1 week.
Wow.
And I had to film, record, and when everybody was baking cookies... I was baking cookies, but for filming and to do things
yeah.
like that. And it was very stressful. And, you know, working with brands and like, oh, we don't like this. We do that. Blah, blah, blah. So it was very stressful. So I just said, you know what? January, I'm done, right? I'm done for the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
I did not film anything. Did you notice that I didn't? No, because you know what I did? I went through all my old material.
Mm.
I downloaded all those videos and I reposted them all January. You know what? Because for me, it was important to have that break.
Yeah.
I did
you
not
had
drink.
Some privacy.
I did have privacy. The only thing that I was posting, it was when I was going to my fitness challenge
mm-hmm.
because... I had the commitment that I had to do a number of classes that I had never done in a year. And I put myself to 20 classes in 1 month. which it was almost impossible. And if I didn't document them, then I was not going to have that pressure, social pressure of saying,
you were like, okay.
You said that you were, you're such a loser, you didn't do
it. It was something you were also like, it helped you accomplish a goal because you were being held accountable by your audience.
Yes. So that was the only reason why I'm posting that. And then I was posting all the old material.
Yeah.
But I didn't create anything new in January. So yes, I do have my months of that, of taking a break. I feel like it's one of the best things I ever done ever. I had never taken a break. And it was just incredible because I came back. My mind was thinking about the future I was thinking very clearly of what I did like and what I didn't like in last year. And I was like, okay, I'm moving this out. I'm doing this. And then I was very focused in my big 4-0 that was coming.
Yeah.
So I wanted.
So wait, it happened already?
Yes.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Welcome to the 40s.
And
it's all, I love the 40s. I'm loving my 40s.
I loved it. I have loved it so far since this year has been such an amazing year. Mm-hmm. I am a completely other person that I'm, whatever I post in social media, whatever I do is because it's what's making me happy. And it's the new, I hate that I'm going to say it. It's the new me. Right? No, but it was
4.0.
It was a 4.0. It was a, it, you know, I have always dreamed of my 40.
Yeah.
I have always dreamed of it. And I had the idea that I was going to go through this. I was going to do this big trip to Italy. And like, I was going to, you know, rent the village and kind of live the, you know, the Dolce Vita in the movies, like, you know, what's her name? Under the Sun, that movie from in Italy. And I wanted to live that. And that was my whole plan. It hasn't happened yet, but it will be happening pretty soon.
Nice.
But I completely, my mind transitioned and I couldn't be happier from what I'm living right now. And because of that mind change, I think it's being reflected in my social media.
Yeah.
And I'm.
But now it all starts to make sense. I know it does. I'm serious because I did notice a change, like a very, just more playful, more, I don't know, more fun, happier.
Yes.
I don't know. And it's interesting. So when did you turn 40?
Well, I turned 40 in February.
Okay.
But, you know, this transition, since I knew it was coming.
It just started like a while back.
It started coming, like maybe like 8 months ago when I was in 39 and I knew it was coming and I was feeling this pressure that I'm going to be 40 and I'm like, where I should be in my 40s? And that's when I told you like earlier, is like, stop everything. Stop and look around. Dude, you have an amazing job, right? Not in the wine industry, but you have a really good job in corporate. You have, you know, your master's in one of the best schools in San Diego. You know, you are doing your passion, which is wine.
And you're good at it.
Kind of.
You are.
I am traveling. I have a great husband and I have a beautiful furry baby and I have a great family and I have a beautiful home in San Diego. I own a home, right? And it's like, whoa, life is not bad, right? It's like, and that's when it hit me. And I was putting way too much pressure of trying to always win, because that's my mentality since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I have always wanted, you know, my father had a very tough time where he lost everything, and I was the oldest, and I have three brothers, and they were like babies when, you know, all this happened. And I had this big pressure. So I always looked to like make sure that everybody was okay. And recently I had this talk with my brothers, and they said to me, hey, we want to talk to you. It's like, yeah, what? And they're like in their, you know, 30s. They're married, and two of them have kids, and they're good, right? But then they came to me and they're like, hey, we want to talk to you. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? We just want you to know that that's it. You don't have to worry about us anymore.
That's powerful.
And I was like,
they released you.
They released me. And I swear that's when it changed. Everything changed. And I started having fun. And that's how I feel. That playful part that you see in social media, it's my having fun part. You know, I did this video and this post in Christmas about me running around in the Coronado de Dell with like this tutu dress with a Christmas hat, you know, looking for a wine. All over.
Oh my god, I have to see this.
It's so funny. It's such a funny, but it was me, right? And I do all these videos that I think, you know, it's just I have the idea and then I try to do them the way that it was in my mind, but then they come out like completely different and even better than what I thought, because I was just having fun at that moment, or you know,
but see, something that's unexpected. Really what social happened. Media has to be something real, something genuine.
Yes,
you having fun.
Yeah,
and if you do it that way, I think it will be long lived. You know,
yes,
you won't get tired of it. It won't be something that you're pressured into, and you're like, oh, I have to post. Oh, I have to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different. Did you say something? Did you call me?
I'm sorry.
Oh my god, I heard him. Sorry, that's my husband over there.
Also drinking wine.
Yeah, also drinking some wine.
Hopefully.
What do you think of the wine?
I love it. I love wines from Uruguay.
Yeah,
because they're very fresh. They're not too heavy and like too fruity or anything.
And
I really like that.
And this one, so it's the name of the winery, it's Cerro del Toro. And it's about 2 kilometers from the ocean, from the Atlantic Ocean in this region called Piriápolis.
Okay.
The wine came in a wine suitcase with my husband. He's from Uruguay, so he brought me the wine. And
that's good.
And yeah, it's a really nice, a Pinot Noir. It spent about a year in French oak, and the style that we were talking about,
yeah,
the
very
style
Burgundy.
Is very Burgundy-like.
I invite you to subscribe, like, and share this podcast. Let's make this grow together.
I really like it.
It's really nice. It's very different. You sip it, and right away you're like, oh, it's not New World. It is New World, but it doesn't have that very strong New World.
It's very elegant.
It's very nice. So we've spoken a lot about Lorena Wine Diary.
Okay.
And we've spoken a lot about all the things that surround your wine business and your journey and all that. But tell me just about Lorena. Like, just take out the wine.
Oh, my.
Take out the wine. Is there a way to take out the wine?
Not really. Lately I've been getting into cocktails too. So
yes. And also like you've been cooking.
I've been cooking. So I realized how much I love bread and cheese. And then I have always been doing like toasts. So I just started making, you know, like the toasts that I make, and I filmed them. And usually I have them with wine, so I'm like, okay, well, I'll
You pair them with different
wines. So then I realized that sometimes I can have meals with only appetizers.
Okay.
So that's why my Instagram has a lot of food-related recipes, but they're mostly appetizers.
Mm-hmm. Which I love, by the way. I love appetizers. And it's you know, like, they're a little bit easier to put together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the perfect way to just have a nice bottle of wine without having to put together a huge meal.
Well, you go to restaurants. Like, for me, like, I go to restaurants and sometimes I don't even look at the main dishes because I just go through all the appetizers and I'm like, I want one of these, one of these, and one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I just, like, realized that I love doing appetizers. And then I do love hosting in my house. So that's why a lot of the Lorena Wine Diary has been transitioning to entertaining people, right? It's like, it's not just wine, but it's like, well, wine always comes in it, but it's the what do you say, the...
Like everything that comes with just, it, right?
Yes,
like
it's the whole thing of entertaining. So... What is it, right?
Like hosting, like the hosting.
Hosting, exactly. So it's like, oh, you prep cocktails. You serve wine. You sometimes serve wine with no alcohol because there's people that doesn't. So all those different things that sometimes we don't think about, I love sharing it. And again, I'm not a super expert on hosting or entertaining, but what I learn, I'll post it.
Yeah.
You know, like the same thing with the wine. Every time I learn something new, I'll post it. I'll just talk about it. And that's how I've been doing it. It's like, okay, well, if you're having people over and you want to serve something, you have 20 minutes to make something. Well, this is what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
3 ingredients appetizer sometimes. And just pop a bottle of this or go to the grocery store, get those 3 things, get a bottle of that varietal and just boom, there you go. And I have done that. And I do it most of the time. Why? Because I'm always busy. I'm always either at work, I'm studying, or I have
Are you also like working out and like doing...
I do. Yes? I do.
Okay.
I do. so yeah, it's just challenging. And that's why I do these appetizers that are very quick to make.
Yeah.
It's just because I have no time. I'll just share what I usually do.
Okay, share one of your favorite appetizers.
Oh my goodness.
Since I have you here, so I'm sharing.
I'm going to say one thing. In my house, there's always going to be freshly cut sourdough bread, right?
Okay.
Always.
Do you buy it every day?
Well, not freshly, like from 3 days, but it's like, I get the
thing, loaf.
And then in Whole Foods, they'll cut it for me, and then I'll keep it very well wrapped, so it's always soft.
Okay.
I need to start making my bread, but I just
made bread last week. It came out really good.
Really?
I'm making one tomorrow.
Nice.
I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know.
Yes.
I have a sourdough starter kit that I bought from Alaska. So I plan on starting it next week.
Yes.
And I'm going to let... I'll share it with you.
You let me know.
I'll let you know and I'll share it with you. Yeah.
But, and then burrata. I always have to have burrata in the house.
Okay.
Always. The problem with burrata is that once you open it,
you have
to eat the whole thing. But I found this from that same brand that it's always in the store. But they put 4 burratas in there. But again, if you open it, you only have like 3 days to eat them.
Yeah.
But hey, 3 days, one a day, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
So not like when you get the big one, you only have to eat it one time. But so my favorite appetizer, it's always going to be my tomato salad with the caprese, how they call it, right? But it's not actually like the big thing of tomatoes, but anyways, so the tomato capri salad and then my burrata and my bread, that for me is like
your go-to.
Yeah, my go-to.
Okay, so for whoever's hearing, then it would be your piece of sourdough, like any bread.
Yes, but let me explain to you the tomato.
Okay,
So the tomato salad is very simple. So you do your, I like
the cherry,
but the rainbow ones. So okay. They're like the one that had multiple colors. Yeah. So you kind of like make it in smaller, like cut them in maybe four pieces or smaller, the cherry ones.
Yeah.
And then, so you put that, you put your, you cut minced garlic. Okay. So very, the smaller tiny, that you can do it, even if you can do...
like with one of those smashers.
Yeah, if you can smash it or... But I do like it to be very small, maybe depending on how much tomato you have, but like three garlic cloves. You have your basil also in tiny pieces. And then here's the fun part. So I put a lime.
A lime?
Yes,
oh,
a lime.
That's
so,
new. Okay,
yes.
I was not expecting
citrusy.
Lime.
So I put...
You're so Mexican.
Yes, I am. I have to. I'm like...
That's your Mexican.
I go everywhere and I'm asking for
lime. I love it. Lime. And I love that you say lime because I always explain
well, limon,
this like limon.
Like, it's a limon.
The green one.
I can't say I learned my lesson because every time I was going to a restaurant and
yeah.
I was, can you bring me a limon?
A limon,
and
yeah.
they bring me this yellow. And I'm
yellow,
like, I don't
like,
want the yellow
not.
One. I want the
green. Yeah, the green.
And I'm like,
yeah.
well, you asked for a limon. And I'm like, well, forget it.
Okay, so then you cut up.
Yes.
Very interesting where this is going. Okay, so
okay.
you cut up the tomato, the rainbow tomato, super
yes.
super like little.
Yes.
Short little then
the garlic.
Mince, the garlic, okay.
And then your basil.
Your basil.
And then you squeeze a lime. Well, depending. If it's a key lime, which are smaller, you just do one of those. If you're doing the regular
yeah,
American
like the big,
lime,
American
it's
cream,
just
yeah.
do half of it.
Okay.
And then you put, here's the fun part. So I put pepper flakes.
Uh-huh.
I love making it spicy.
Yeah.
Well, you have lime already.
Yeah.
So you put lime and chile, like it's the same thing, right? So so then you put...
Throwing some cilantro.
almost. I was...
Avocado.
Well, that's another recipe, but yes. But then... I put the olive oil, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Salt. Here's where it's a little bit different. I do not like the
balsamic.
Black balsamic.
Okay.
So I buy the olive, whatever, white balsamic.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
a white balsamic, so it doesn't look black.
Yeah.
Your food. So then you pour some balsamic, the white balsamic. And then what else? And that's it. I put a lot of like pepper flakes. So then you super mix it.
This is very
it's
different.
Delicious. And then you just, you know,
did
you
come up
like,
with this? Or you saw it,
I just,
saw it somewhere? Or?
No, I came up with that. Well, it's the papri salad is very simple, right? It's
yeah,
like
but this is not,
you
but
use
this is,
those things.
Yes, but these ingredients are different. I mean, the definitely the chili flakes, okay. That,
yeah.
that I get it, but. But the lime,
that's
yeah,
me.
The lime is different.
I
and
put
this
lime
type
in
of
everything.
Balsamic that you're mentioning, I mean, it's.
I found it one time in the store, and then I just never let go, because I very few times I use the black balsamic,
mm-hmm.
But I
you find
do
it too strong.
It.
It's interesting because just like I think like 2 days ago I was
yeah.
having this conversation with my husband because he was saying like. And you know, uh-huh. like, I buy really nice, super
yes.
aged balsamic, like
yeah.
amazing balsamic. And he's saying like, yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of balsamic. Like, okay.
uh-huh.
We were having this
No, you should try this one. It's really good.
Okay.
They sell it in Whole Foods. But their whole line of this brand is
okay.
incredible. I just got like 6 bottles of different things that they
mm-hmm.
sent me. But yeah, so I do that, and then I'll throw the, you know, if you don't like burrata or you like more mozzarella, then you just cut pieces and put them inside and mix them also.
Yeah.
But if you do love burrata like I do, I put as the center
mm-hmm.
the burrata,
and
open
then,
it,
and then you put
and then you've got the toast,
oh.
the toasted
sourdough
bread.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, it is.
Hungry.
So then the toast bread, So you got multiple ways to do it. And that's something I want to do a post about, the different ways to toast a bread. It sounds very dumb, but it is.
No, like tell you have me, tell me.
Multiple ways. Mm-hmm. But for that one in particular, like I would, you know, put olive oil and then salt and pepper and then just throw it in there, mm-hmm. in the
oven.
Toaster oven. Yeah. And then just do like 8 minutes, depending on the, or maybe less, mm-hmm. 420. But then I'll grab a piece of garlic.
Oh,
and just scrape it.
That's like, you know, pan con tomate. That's like
in Spain, I have done that one,
pan
too.
Pan con tomate. That's like the traditional pan con tomate thing. It's like with the...
That's kind of... that's my favorite one. But, you know...
So if you're very passionate about these recipes also,
right?
I am.
Yes, I do. Sometimes you'll see... Nobody knows, but there will be some videos that I post from the moment that I'm like, I'm just going to have a lunch and I'm preparing something and I'm thinking of, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should record it, right? And nobody knows that I'm probably wearing PJs and I'm like doing this like avocado toast and for breakfast, and it's just like I just film it and then I just put it together and just, hey, here you go make it. You know, it's like it's actually good.
A bunch of people following you and like liking it and making comments.
Yeah.
Do you read your comments? Like, do you go through the comments?
Yes, I do. It's one of the things that it's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer all of them.
Yeah.
A lot of times because
I'm
I'm pretty busy, but I do read them all. All of them, I'm reading them. If there's something I don't like, I will like...
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have two full-time jobs.
Two? Three? Yeah, I do. It's pretty...
intense.
Because it's not just... My business is not just Lorena Wine Diary, but it's Flavor Affair, Lorena Wine Diary. Oh, and then my dog also has
his account,
and he's an influencer. Oh,
is he an influencer already?
A little bit, yes.
How many followers does he have?
No, he has like close to 4,000.
I think that should be one of the things you merge in, honestly.
As a dog mom.
Yeah, just like
I have
merge
tried.
Him into the
I have
Lorena
tried.
Wine Diary or the
I,
Flavor
you know,
Affair.
I, in his account, I didn't have to put expect dog content and wine and recipe content. So if you go to his account, which is Little Archie Doodle,
mm-hmm.
You'll see I post in the stories, not in his account, in his profile. It's in the stories. I'll post all the videos. And then a lot of moms, dog moms, have been following me. You know, they move, you know,
yeah,
over
they
here.
Transition.
They cross the line, the transition to my account because
well,
they also
I'm
like that.
I'm a huge dog lover, as I was telling you. So now I have to follow him.
Archie.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
you have a new follower, and I just
awesome. Well, to Archie, It's Archie answering and everything.
Yes, I know. So for people that want to get into this, what do you think? Well, first of all, do you think there's still room for this? Do you think there's still space? Because I think it's so saturated.
It is.
Right?
And it's very hard.
I keep on reading this, how the algorithms, and like all these different
it's very
things
complicated.
About algorithms and social media.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend? Like if anyone's hearing and they have a certain passion they want to follow and they want to do it through social media, because there are many ways of following a passion, right?
Yes.
But if it's through social media, do you think there's still room? Do you think like how?
So
like if you were to start today.
It is a very, very complicated world right now. And me as, you know, having 30,000 followers, even for me, it's very hard to grow. So it is complicated. It's not easy. So don't think that because you come and you post pretty pictures, you're just gonna all of a sudden become like this famous person or you're gonna grow quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It doesn't work that way. it's just, you know, but however, I'm not saying no to people. I'm actually just telling people, because they ask me all the time, and or when I get people consulting, mm-hmm. I consult sometimes people, and they'll be like, well, what should I do? I'm like, the only thing that I recommend you is that be yourself. Like, stop looking to be like the others, which is something that it was a mistake that I was making.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish I didn't follow that many people, right? I follow 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I wish I didn't follow, because, and sorry for my wine friends that I follow, but the point is that sometimes you get so, you know, you're following certain, because, oh, this other person did this, then I'll do it the same way.
For them,
and then it worked for them. So then you start losing that creativity. And that's the reason why I said, I wish I didn't follow anybody, because sometimes when I don't see things, mm-hmm. then I create my own.
Yeah.
And I want to be original. I don't want to be seen like, oh, this girl already did it. This other one already did it. Oh, Lorena is also doing it, mm-hmm. right? And I don't want to be seen like that. I want to be seen like I'm creative in my own way, and I'm sharing my message to you in the Lorena way, right? Mm-hmm. So my suggestion to everybody is like, don't try to be like, oh, I'm going to do it this way, like Lorena's doing it, or like, this other person is doing it. Just do your own thing. What does your heart tell you? What does your mind tell you? Do it that way. That's the way. And then with that, we do put a plan, right? It's not that easy. Mm. There's all these social media strategy. It's like, don't think that I haven't learned all that. I have gone through hours of podcasts when I go on my walks. And I'm not studying. I play podcast about like social media or about what work, you know, and I'm not copying the content, but I'm copying is the strategy, what has worked for them.
Yeah. And you put that strategy to use.
Yes.
For you.
Yes. And also I work in business development and strategy in a big aerospace company.
I was gonna say, that's a huge impact in your business. Because
exactly.
At the end of the day, I mean, you have all that experience, mm-hmm. and all that knowledge that you apply to your passion.
Exactly. Yes, I do.
That's a huge plus.
I do a lot of competitive analysis, mm-hmm. and I look at like other people, like in companies, like I look like, okay, what are they doing? What are we not doing? Like, what are the benefits and all that? So I do a lot of analysis.
Awesome.
So I do apply it in my account, right? It was like, okay, what are the others doing? What are the, you know, what can I do better? How can I do it my way? Mm-hmm. How can I not look like I'm copying, right? It's mm-hmm. how am I, you know, and I'm constantly trying to be creative, but like learn something new and like come up with new ideas.
But I mean, I think that you just said something that is extremely valuable. Especially for young people that are listening and young people that follow you, don't stop studying. Don't stop your,
don't drop
exactly. out of college. Like, don't do all these things because you want to become an influencer.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't work that way.
Like, it doesn't work. Exactly. And I think you are a beautiful example of that, because you are applying all your studies, all your knowledge, all your master's, like everything, you're applying
yeah.
it into your passion. But you still, to this day, even though you're
mm-hmm.
extremely successful as Lorena Wine Diary,
you still don't have
your corporate job that
exactly.
nurtures that
exactly.
other aspect. It's fabulous.
It's,
and I think that's a great example, and something that you should post something about this. It's such a
it's very long, but yeah.
It's very important. It really
it
is. This is a great advice for a younger generation to say, you know, I feel that a lot of young people, they just want to be influencers. Mm-hmm. They want the easy money, right? Because in the easy, because I know it's not easy, but, you know, like, oh, let me become a,
yeah,
like, let me do videos. Let me become an influencer.
So
like,
one time I had this person I was talking to, and she had that, right? It was like, that idea. It's like, well, I want to be a lifestyle. Because she asked me, how do I do it, Lorena? Tell me, how do I get to where you are? I want to start. And with zero followers, right? Mm-hmm. Like from the bottom, right? Yeah. From scratch starting. I'm like, okay, well, how have you, do you, what is it about, right? What are you talking about? Lifestyle. Like, and then I start laughing. I'm like, sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but unless you're not like Kim Kardashian, yeah, you can't be a lifestyle, yeah, like, influencer.
What is, right? Lifestyle?
I'm like, unless you're not like, you have, do, okay, then I ask, okay, do you have a mansion? It's like, no. I'm like, okay. Do you drive a Ferrari? No. Okay. Do you, and it's like, and I started going like that. Okay, well, you can't be a lifestyle influencer. You're not Kim Kardashian. Yeah. You can't be just like, because people are not just going to follow you because
it's, you're,
it doesn't
cute.
Work, yeah, like that, right? It doesn't work like that. What is the value? What are you bringing to?
Yeah, what is
who,
the value?
Who,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
your,
yeah,
audience?
Yeah.
Do you know who your audience is? What people that want to see all the things that I do? Okay, again, doesn't work that way. There's, you know, I can keep talking about this topic because for me, this topic is very, you know, it's, I analyze it too much. And there's way too much. And I had this conversation with another person I was consulting, and I, when I explained to her the whole context about the analysis that you have to do in social media, she was like, I thought it was just like pretty pictures. I'm like, no. It's like, do you know who your audience is? Do you know who your avatar is? You know, the person that you are writing the post to. Do you know her name, right?
Yeah.
The avatar that you are. It's like, no. It's like, well, then you can't just speak to the world.
And that is why you need a background. And you have that background. And that's very much worked in your favor.
It has. It has. So if you ask me, why have you succeeded? You know, like, because, you know, I'm also very, like, try not to show things in my body or things like that that will,
yeah,
gain,
yeah, yeah,
some,
yeah,
you know, I try to protect all that. I want my followers to follow me because, you know, they're learning something new. They were, you know, something different. Value, the value, right?
Yeah.
That's what I want. And that's why I always try to explain to someone that is always asking me about social media. There's a whole world of, that's why you have marketing firms managing these accounts and all this, because they do these analysis to grow, right?
Yeah.
Their brands and things like that. So Lorena Wine Diary, even though that it's me and it's literally me, you know, the real me, it is like a brand, right? It is.
No, it's a brand.
It's a complete brand.
Yeah, it's a brand.
So,
it's a business. I mean, you're
it is a business.
For
exactly.
You have clients.
And I
have
value. I have a value proposition. I have my company, my yearly goals. I have my everything.
But you have all this because you are your own, you are managing your own business.
Yes.
And you have the knowledge, the experience,
mm-hmm,
the background to do this.
Correct.
Because you studied for this. At the end of the day, I mean, there was this entire process, like life brought you to this point.
Yes.
Not by coincidence.
No.
And I think that's such a great example because I feel there are a lot of things happening in social,
mm-hmm,
media that are just kind of like a spur of the moment.
Yeah.
And maybe won't last. But, you know, like you're analyzing your audience.
Correct.
Like you have all this background.
I'm looking at what apps are going out there. You know,
I actually had that question. What do you see? Like, how do you see social media changing and AI and like all these different things that are starting to come up? And I feel that the world changed so drastically in the last 20 years. How do you see it moving forward when it comes to social media and the impact that it will have?
So social media, like, I think I got in the right time when there was like a need, right? And that's when you want to be. You want to be in the moments in life where it's a need. Is that correctly said? Yeah, in like when the world needs it, right? Mm-hmm. There was a need during the pandemic, and that's why it became so important, social media. Something that it wasn't. It was more like a fun thing to use, right? And that's how I got it, right? It's like,
all
I thought it was,
we're getting all our content from social media.
Exactly. So then where is it going? I think, you know, Instagram is pushing too hard to continue to be that number one, because even though TikTok is in there, I think, you know, it's still Instagram number one. For many of the platforms, they really gotta make sure that another one comes, because another TikTok can come, and you know, in case if they don't.
Well, I feel that like Facebook was such a huge thing, and then Facebook kind of like went like this, and then Instagram happened. Mm-hmm. Like, almost just naturally.
But right now, it's like this, right? Yeah. It's like I hear, there's not one day that I don't hear another content creator like me that is sick of it, sick of Instagram, and because there's glitches all the time. They're changing the algorithms. They're changing the. Oh, we're going to give you bonuses. And then, oh, we don't give them to you anymore. Oh, now you have to pay. Oh, now you have the verification thing. Now you don't. Or now, you know, people have to pay for it. Oh, what happened to the ones that really got it before? Oh, now they maybe have to pay now. It's like, there's all these changes.
So they're struggling then to keep it.
Every day there's changes. And those changes, you know, gets you tired as a content creator, because you're already like very stressed with all these work that you have to create.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal with the million changes. So yeah, it's hard, but I think there's new platforms coming. I think people, like, if I have to give an advice to someone that is in social media, or once you get into social media, keep researching what the others are doing. Look at what platforms they're getting into. Because with people being unhappy in Instagram, there's others that are going to come in here, and they're going to try to join them. I don't know if it's going to die, Instagram, or not. But I don't think so. I think it will always be
maybe
there, like Facebook.
Like Facebook, Facebook still has a huge audience. I check my Facebook maybe once a month.
I only see it because my family is
but
I don't go
I
there
like
at
there's
all.
There's this entire generation that just stayed on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. Are you ready for those new things? So, like, are you like, like Lorena White Diary is going everywhere?
Well, I think I'm getting to another phase of my company, my brand, and Lorena that can't do things alone anymore. And I'm going to start looking for partnerships or things where I can do with a team or some, because it's if I didn't have my other job and, you know, it's, now it's looking for those, how can Lorena keep growing? Because at this point, I can only manage 30,000 people. But if I start growing more and more and more, it's like, okay, well, I can't do, this is where you get to that point where you say, it's time to ask for help.
Yeah.
So That's kind of where I'm going.
Well, I trust that wherever you go, your heart will lead you.
Yeah.
And you will go there with passion. Mm-hmm. And going back to the quote that we read at the beginning, it struck a chord. It really did, because it's something, I'm serious. It's something like my sisters will hear this, and my three sisters will hear this, and they'll say, like, yeah, that's my dad always said that, like, el tiempo igualmente pasa.
Mm-hmm.
Time passes anyways. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that you use it wisely.
You have to.
And I think you have. I think you have. And I think you will continue to do so. It's you're clearly very passionate about life and what you do and how you pursue your dreams and your goals. And it's an inspiration.
Thank you. No, thank you so much. And thank you for having me here. Yeah, I do want to say that everyone, and I always tell my husband, look at it as what if it was your last day, right? And so if I leave right now, at least I had a really good conversation with you.
Yes.
And I had a really nice wine from Uruguay. So,
yes, we did.
So yeah, with yoga pants.
You look fabulous. I love it. It doesn't get more real than this.
But
and just so you know, none of this will be edited. Like, it's just exactly how it came out. It's going out to the world. It was perfect. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Salud.